We hope that you're having a great Monday, and we appreciate you downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's show is brought to you by the great travel agents over at The Magic for Less Travel. If you want to get in on that free dining offer that is out there, you need to make sure that you book by October 29th, because that's when time runs out to book free dining for select dates through March 31st, 2012. There's also some great room-only offers out there right now as well. It's a great time to book that next Disney vacation. Work with one of the great agents over at The Magic for Less and put in that free, no-obligation quote today. Just visit www.themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 379 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. I hope that you had an excellent weekend. You had some fun, spent some time with the family. Thank you so much for starting your week with us here on the Be Our Guest Podcast. Today, we're going to have another one of your great trip report shows that you know and love. And joining me today from the wonderful Keystone State of Pennsylvania, we have your friend and mine, Brian. How's it going, Brian?
It's going pretty good, Mike.
I'm glad to have you on the show, and today we're going to talk about a recent trip that you took, and on this trip you stayed at Pop Century, which, you know, I can never have enough pop. I don't know if you're the same way.
Maybe not. I think I might have had enough pop.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that today, because I know that, you know, this was, you know, one of your rare times staying at a value, and you know, I'm kind of at the end where we stay at a value most of the time, working our ways slightly to the moderates now. So before we get too far into today's show, kind of let us know when you went down, who you went with, and what time of year, so the people that are planning a trip can use this for to help them out.
Sure. I was there in end of August, and I left right before Labor Day of this past year, 2011, I guess, depending on when this comes out. And we were there for a week, and I was there with my wife, my parents, who went because we also were tagging my my 2-year-old daughter and my 2-month-old at the time son. So we figured we needed to double up on the adults.
That is not a bad idea, because I can tell you that, you know, we went with a 6-month-old when Mallory was 6 months old, but wow, a two-year-old and a 2-month-old. I mean, God help you. I don't know how you made it back.
Yeah, you know what? We were there actually for the first time ever. I was in Walt Disney World twice in 1 year. I was there in February. We went with my daughter, who was still 2 then, and she was great. She loved it. She was so good. She was so patient that we figured, well, she's not going to be a problem. My parents didn't get to go that time, and they kind of wanted to see her go for the first time. So we had talked about it and decided it was worth the time, and that the experience was better than the craziness of dealing with a 2-month-old.
That's interesting, because, you know, this is one of those things like refillable mugs and pool hopping that people definitely have an opinion about, you know, when you're old enough to go and stuff like that. And I fall in the same camp that you do. Obviously, we took Mallory at 6 months old, and she's not going to remember any of that stuff. We have great pictures, you know, and it was kind of for us just as much as anybody else. But, you know, folks that are considering this, do you have any advice of things maybe to think about? You know, if you're going to take an infant, you know, it's not something like, you know, it's like taking a 12-year-old. There's a lot more considerations. So what might you pass on?
Well, I mean, the big thing is, yeah, the argument you always hear is that they're not going to remember it. I mean, my 2-year-old won't remember it either. But, you know, my counter argument to that is they'll see the pictures, they'll you know it, you know, I'll remember it, I'll remember their experiences. And honestly, you know, before this year, I hadn't been to Walt Disney World since 2004, I think. If it wasn't for the pictures, I'm not sure I would have remembered that much either.
True.
But as far, especially the infant, you know, we were there at a really hot time of year, and the heat and the sun are just your enemy at that point for the little one, because you're not supposed to put sunscreen on them when they're under 6 months. So, you know, we brought a stroller, which is almost necessary because holding the poor kid, he was getting so sweaty. I was getting sweaty. He was not real happy about that. Neither was I. So, getting him in the stroller where he could breathe a little bit. We bought a little stroller fan to hang in there with him. We bought an extra large sunshade to go over it that, you know, to make sure he was out of the sun the whole time. And above that, just, you know, honestly, it's my recommendation for everyone anyway, but especially with kids, is just breaks, midday breaks, taking it as easy as you feel like you can. Nobody ever wants to leave the parks. You know, I'm a big one, especially. I like getting there at rope drop and staying until it closes and sleeping when I get back home. But for the kids, it just, you can't even try that. You know, my son would perk up instantly when we'd get inside the room and he'd hit the air conditioning.
Yes.
So we made sure, we went back for my daughter to take her naps. You know, my son kind of just napped in the stroller most of the time. But even, you know, my parents were okay. They kind of took turns. They took them back for breaks. My wife took them some days. I took them some days. So that's the big thing, is just getting out of the heat, get out of the sun, even if it's not a hot time, just taking a rest. They seem like they can go all day and have unlimited energy, but they really don't.
Yeah, it's just the overstimulation of the theme parks. I mean, because you have smells and sounds and bright colors and things moving all the time, that if you can take the kids, you know, back to the resort for maybe an hour and just have it dark and relax, you know, something's not coming at you from every single angle, the kids are going to be a lot better. And another thing that you mentioned, and we'll get onto the other stuff, but, you know, I know there's a lot of folks that are planning those first trips with kids. And, you know, I kind of learned the hard way by just trying these things out. But we actually invested in like a McLaren stroller, which, God help me, you know, if before we had Mallory, if you'd have ever told me I would spend close to $200 on an umbrella stroller, like a little fold up, little cheap kind of looking stroller, I would have said you're crazy. But the thing is that I've kind of learned my lesson. You see those dads that are trying to get those, you know, like four wheeler type strollers on a busy bus, you know, when the park closes. And I'm telling you, a good stroller, especially if you're somebody who sees yourself going to Disney multiple times over the next maybe 5 or 6 years, I think that it's going to be money well spent, because obviously you can use it back home as well. But like you said, a stroller is going to be your best ally too, as far as, you know, the kid being able to nap and not having to carry the baby around all the time.
Yeah, and actually they were, even for ADRs and that, they most places let us take the stroller inside if we asked. They just move one of the chairs out of the way and roll the stroller right up, so it even helped there.
Yeah, I would tell them, you know, it's going to make your life easier and our life easier if you let Mallory sleep in the stroller. Can we make this happen? And they, you know, you wink at them, but it's the truth. I mean, you're kind of making a joke with them, but no kidding. Do you want me to wake this kid up right now in Le Cellier? I don't think you do, but I'm just saying. So let's get into some of the trip that you had. So what were some of the memories that still stick with you? You know, stories you want to share with our listeners?
Well, the big one, you know, it's funny when you mentioned about the overstimulation. First night there, the first ride my daughter wanted to do was It's a Small World. So, you know, which I'm fine with, because it's usually a pretty short wait too. So we get on there. My son was sleeping when we first got on. About halfway through, he started to wake up, and I don't think I've ever seen his eyes so wide. He just went crazy. I mean, he was looking everywhere. His arms and legs were going. He just had no idea what was happening, but he loved it. And, for the baby, that's kind of the big thing. I mean, that happened a couple times. Main Street, he loved Main Street at night. You know, they light up, they just have all those white lights around the buildings. And the fireworks he actually liked, which we weren't quite sure how he was going to do with the noise. But we stayed kind of close to the entrance of the Magic Kingdom, so that if we needed it to make a quick escape. And I think it was far enough away that the noise didn't bother him so much, so he just kind of saw the lights exploding. And you know, for with him, it's kind of that stuff. It's just that, you know, he's just learning to see the world, basically. So just all those reactions that I didn't quite expect. You know, my daughter, one of the reasons we went back, She loves the characters.
Yes.
And, you know, this time we managed to go. It was the first time I ever had been on the dining plan. It was you know, the free dining promotion. So we did that and just kind of loaded up on the character meals. I think we did 5 of them. And, you know, and she was great. We bought her, her Princess Belle dress that she could wear to the Akershus dinner. And, you know, she met the princesses and we got to meet Mickey and Minnie and Winnie the Pooh and, you know, all those. We get the best pictures. And actually even the rides this time, you know, she's just about to turn 3 as we record this. And, she's just starting to kind of, I guess, learn what Disney World is. And, you know, even today she asked me what my favorite ride was. And then, you know, if you'll tell her and she'll say, you know, I'll say, oh, the Pirates ride I like. And she say, oh, we go down the hill and we go, wee. because apparently that's what she took out of it, was that little drop right before the main show scene. So, you know, for me, it's always with Disney, always about the little stuff. You know, I like the attractions, you know, some of them I love. But I love just, you know, slowing down and, you know, paying attention to all the little stuff and making it, you know, as unique as I can.
And it's so funny to see what our kids remember with, like, just like you said that, you know, Paige and Mallory have done the exact same thing that, you know, I love that they're like mini Disney geeks, just like me, you know, like they can speak about a Disney attraction like most 40-year-olds can't, you know, at the age of 3, which, you know, gets me going. I think that's pretty cool. But, you know, it's so funny, like you said, like with Pirates, the little dip, you know, there's so much to see and hear in that attraction, yet that's what they remember, you know. And I think it's the same way for a lot of our kids that you really don't know. I mean, you make these great guesses as to, oh, I want my kid to see this or see this princess or this pirate. But in the end, they come back. And when you ask them about Walt Disney World, many times it's nothing you would expect.
No. And that's, you know, and that's another, you know, good piece of advice for parents, especially with small children, is that, you know, I know people that kind of get upset when their kid, you know, when they say, oh, what was your favorite part of Walt Disney World? And they say, oh, you know, feeding the birds.
Yes.
You know, what, really? I spent all that money and that's what you're, but you know, that is it. It's, you know, that's the reason we go back as much as we can, is it is different for everybody and it's different every time. So.
Absolutely. So well, let's spend some time talking about the details of the trip. And, you mentioned kind of in the opening, I was joking about how much I love Pop Century, and it's, you know, I've said this many times on the show that it's one of those places that our family has grown up. We've been going there since the first year it was open, and we've seen, you know, the trees get bigger, and, you know, it's just, it's one of those places. We have pictures of us year after year, many years, and, you know, you mentioned that you might have had enough of Pop, so, you know, why did you pick Pop, and, you know, what were your thoughts in general of this resort?
Well, it was, you know, I think you mentioned before, it was the first time I'd ever been at a value resort. I've stayed almost exclusively at moderates. I stayed at the Polynesian in 1984, but that barely counts now. So, you know, until that, Port Orleans, French Quarter especially, is probably my favorite resort. This time, because it was our second time of the year, we needed 2 rooms. So it was mostly a cost decision. For the same price as a moderate and 5 nights, we could stay 7 nights at Pop. So that was the primary decision. You know, I also just kind of wanted to see it. I know a lot of people that stay there. I know a lot of people that go down very regularly that stay there 80% of the time they go. And I kind of wanted to, you know, I'm hoping to be going down more often in the future. So I wanted to try it out and see what I thought. And don't get me wrong, I won't hesitate to stay again for the same reason, that it is just so darn cost effective. What I didn't like about it is, basically what I didn't like about it is that it's not a moderate.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a theme. You know, my favorite attractions are the really heavily themed ones. I could spend a year of my life in World Showcase, And I really enjoy just wandering the grounds of resorts. I actually did that some on this trip. For some of the resorts I either hadn't seen in a long time, or in some cases had never seen. When my daughter went back for naps, I walked around the yacht club and beach club and boardwalk just to see. And normally on my trips, when I tend to be an early riser. So I'll get up early, go eat breakfast. While my wife and the kids finish getting ready, I'll just kind of wander around the resort, take pictures. And I didn't really feel the theme at Pop. I know why they just kind of went with all the crazy giant stuff. And my daughter loved it. Loved the big potato heads and the big Mickey phone. And I'll admit, the first time I saw the giant big wheel, I went, "Oh, I had a big wheel."
Exactly.
But after a day or two, I kind of walked by, all that stuff again and went, "Yeah, there's no details here that keep me kind of wanting to keep going back." For most people, that's not what they're looking for in a resort. They're not looking for somewhere they can spend a lot of time. They're looking for somewhere they can sleep and go to the park. And in that manner, it was fine. The room was everything I would expect at Disney. It's a little bit smaller than a moderate, but not so much that it bothered me. Food court, I loved. Food court was actually fantastic. The buses, because we were relying on buses because of the two kids and the four adults. I didn't want to have to deal with a rental in this case, so we relied solely on Disney transportation. The buses I wasn't crazy about, but it wasn't anything specific. They were crowded,
Yeah.
I think Pop and the values in general just tend to be more crowded because of their popularity, mostly, probably because of the price point. And, I don't think I sat on a bus the entire week. Every time we did get on, either it was full already or I could see it was going to be full. And, I'm not that big a jerk that I'm going to take a seat away from somebody. So, sure. So just little stuff like that. It just didn't have the same resort feel that I personally like. That said, if I'm going for, a weekend trip or something, and I'm trying to do it as cheaply as possible, I would absolutely stay at Pop again, although I might rent a car next time.
I think that's a great point, though. You got to consider what the, what's your goal of this trip? Is it, like when we went down a couple weeks ago and we were running the half marathon and we were up at the 5K, it was dark early in the morning at the Animal Kingdom. And, you hardly had a chance to go back and shower, catch a few hours of sleep at night and you were up and out and meeting people. I think that is really where the All-Stars and Pop Century shine, because it's a quality place to, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get something on site. It's going to be relatively inexpensive. It's going to be something that is going to get you what you need, rest and a shower and a place to put your things. But I think you're exactly right that if it's one of those things that, you're going with your family and you want to be somebody who can either, after the kids fall asleep or, like you said, getting up early in the morning, and you really appreciate the richness of the moderate and deluxes, how they can carry a theme, not only to just like your room, but to the building itself. And then to the, check-in area, and then to the gardens, and even the transportation modes that are available, like you said, at French Quarter and Riverside. I think that, when you think about your goals, I think this is going to be a great show for people that are planning, because I think you got to think, what am I getting out of this trip? Am I going to be at the resort a lot? Am I not? Because, you don't want to waste money if you're not going to be there. But if you're going to be there, I think this is as much about the Disney experience as anything else.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree. And that's one of my big things with people over, choosing a resort. Obviously, if you can afford it, then, the deluxe resorts are great. If it's a matter of cutting one thing for another, yeah, you really have to figure out what you want first. Even if you're going for a deluxe resort, the location means so much there. What park are you going to spend most of your time at? If I was going down by myself, I would probably only stay at a value, because like I said, if it's just me, I go completely commando and go, you know, open to close. So I would never be at the room.
Exactly.
But with the kids, I don't have a choice. They have to get their full night's sleep. So
absolutely. And I love that you're really into the theme, because I'm the same way. I mean, that's really what keeps me coming back, because you can never take in all of the nuances and details of the Disney theming. And, you know, they're slightly changing all the time. Like, you know, and they, I think we talked about this on the live show last Sunday, was that, you know, Riverside now has some upgraded rooms, which I'm very excited about. Pam got to stay there, and I'm looking forward to staying there as well. But, you know, they incorporated the Princess and the Frog in there, but ever so subtly. You know, it's not something that is like some gaudy bedspread, but, you know, the characters are blended slightly into that theme, and it's something new and it's something different. But again, it gives you a reason to stay at a moderate over a value.
Yeah. And I think that's the same. I mean, my personal feeling with all of Disney is that they do their best work when they're subtly incorporating a theme rather than trying to beat you over the head with one.
Exactly. We'll see how Art of Animation goes, because I think that's definitely like beating you over the head with a sledgehammer, but we'll see how it goes.
And that is someplace I know I'm going to be staying in the future, because those are four movies that my daughter adores. So yeah, I'm sure I'll find out.
I'll be there too. I mean, I'll be right with you. We'll have to either say they're what we were not expecting, we loved it, or I guess we could commiserate about you know, how loud it was and crazy. But you know, it does fill something that Disney needed with the availability of the family suites, because we know that those are very popular over at Music.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, and I don't have any problem with them building more value resorts. They, you know, I mean, the whatever gets more people get to Disney, the better.
Absolutely. So let's get into, you know, you mentioned earlier that you were on the dining plan, on the free dining, and it sounds like you really, you know, thought it through, and you kind of took the Steve Forrester method of, we're going to meet the characters, but we're going to have the characters come to us. We're not going to go to them. And I totally subscribe to that now as a parent of a 3-year-old, and have been through it with Paige as well, that character meals are in many instances a great way to take advantage of your dining service credits. So maybe share some of the other meals you mentioned that I believe, you know, from the characters, I guess you did Crystal Palace, maybe a Chef Mickey's, but, you know, and Akershus, but, how'd the meals go?
Overall, they went really well. My feelings were kind of mixed on the dining plan, mostly on the negative side. It was just the planning. I mean, I'm a crazy planner anyway. You know, lining up my ADRs months in advance and which days we were going to be at which park wasn't really that big a problem. But the day-to-day planning, you know, it felt to me, you know, we'd get up from you know, our nap. We'd have to go to Epcot because we'd have the Akershus, you know, reservation. Well, we'd get there and we'd have 45 minutes. So, okay, we can do one ride. Let's go do, you know, the Seas with Nemo. Okay, we're done with that. Okay, now we have to hustle to get over to Akershus. You know, it felt like most of our day revolved around what times we had to get places, which is, you know, I mean, that's how ADRs work. It just, you know, because we were there for 7 nights, so we had 7 ADRs, and I spread them out, which maybe I shouldn't have. I might have been better off doing 2 a couple days and leaving a couple blank. But on the positive side with the dining plan, we got to try a lot of places and tried some places that I either had never tried or hadn't tried in a long time. Yeah, the character meals we did were, I'm trying to keep this straight because we did a couple in February too. And this time we did Akershus, Crystal Palace, Tusker House, the Cape May breakfast, and we did Le Chef de France, which Remy was there, although it's not technically a character meal. But we sold it to my daughter as that because Remy showed up. You know, I mean, for the most part, I was really impressed. I'm kind of picky with food. I'm probably coming across as picky with a lot of stuff here, but you know, food is another one of those that if I'm, you know, I don't ask for a ton with a restaurant, but I like the food to be, you know, reasonably fresh and well seasoned, and that's pretty much it. And in the past, I haven't always been happy with Disney restaurants, and you know, that's a pretty general assessment. A lot of people aren't crazy about a lot of the Disney restaurants, but I gotta say, I was really happy with the food in most of the places. The only exception was Le Chef's de France. Actually, I was kind of disappointed. And talking to some other people, I think there are probably other things I could have ordered that were better. But everything else, Akershus, I was blown away by. I thought the food there was fantastic, and I thought I was kind of leery about that because I wasn't sure what you know, what authentic Norwegian food actually was. And I don't know if it was authentic Norwegian food. They said it was, but it was very good.
I'm the same way with you in Akershus, because we went there, the same thing, and I liked it because it gave you the opportunity to be a little adventurous, because they had all kinds of cold, like, fish-type items. I'm from St. Louis. They told me it was, you know, Norwegian food, and I'll take their word for it. I doubt they're lying, but, you know, it gave me the opportunity to try some crazy stuff, at least crazy in my world, but also there were some safe options, and, you know, surprisingly enough, you know, Paige and Mallory found stuff they like. So whenever you can find a place like that gives you, you know, the option to try some very new and adventurous things, but also the kids have something to eat, you know, I think that's a win for everybody.
Oh yeah. And it was, I mean, it was great. We had done Cinderella's Royal Table in February when we went, and, you know, I mean, there's nothing like eating in the castle, but I think if you're on the dining plan, because Cinderella's Royal Table takes 2 credits, Akershus only takes the 1. I'd be hard pressed to recommend Cinderella's Royal Table unless somebody really wanted to eat in the castle.
No, I agree, because, you know, it's one of those things, and that's it. I mean, it's really not the meal and it's not the characters. It's the setting, you know, eating in Cinderella's castle. There's something to be said for that. But Akershus, I think, is better food. And, you know, when you're talking dining plan, it's half price, you know, considering what you're paying. So, and you get, I think you get better, you know, character interaction there as well. So, great. You're bringing up lots of good stuff. People that are planning trips, definitely take this show and use these tips, because they're going to help you have a much better vacation. So now look, I want to ask you something here, Brian, that, you know, not really related to the trip, but, you know, what was it about Disney that got you so excited and so involved that, you know, you're listening to podcasts, you help, you know, others plan trips, you just have a fire and a passion for this place. So, you know, if people ask you, you know, why are you so into Walt Disney World? What is it for you?
Well, I think I was kind of raised on it. My mom has always been a huge Disney fan. You know, my first trip there was when I was 5 years old, and we went, as you know, time and budget allowed, you know, every, you know, 6 to 10 years growing up. But it really didn't kick in, honestly, until you know, probably, well, I guess it really kicked in this year, honestly, when I went with my daughter for the first time. A couple of years ago, I got the opportunity to go to Disneyland Paris, you know, and I really enjoyed that. It was a different perspective on a lot of the same stuff, but for some reason, for the first time, and I don't know if it was just because I was starting to get older at that point, that I really started to notice the theming and all the details and all the just crazy little stuff that 98% of people probably don't see, but they put it in there anyway because it makes it better. And then, you know, this was a few years ago. And then after we had my daughter, we started planning for when to take her. And kind of in the planning for that, that's when I started getting into all the Disney podcasts. I started checking out a lot of the Disney websites and message boards. And I started finding even more of these little details that I never knew existed, even though I had been to the parks a handful of times. I started reading, you know, history about building of the parks, you know, the documentaries on Walt Disney, and really realizing all the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into these theme parks from not just Walt, but you know, so many people, for no other reason than that they want the best experience for everyone that they can. And, you know, I've mentioned the themes a bunch of times already, but that's really what sold me personally, was, you know, the fact that the Morocco Pavilion was actually commissioned by the Moroccan royal family. Yes. And, you know, you walk through those back streets and you, it might as well be a Moroccan city. And, you know, how the murals in the Moroccan pavilion aren't perfect because Islam believes that nothing should be perfect except God. So the designers did that on purpose. And just that little stuff that people aren't going to notice unless you read about it, but it's still there. You know, and that's what started to hook me. And then taking my daughter, even as young as she was, and seeing her face when she saw the castle the first time. And when we got to, you know, watching her literally jump up and down when she got to meet Mickey for the first time. And, you know, listening to her try to sing the It's a Small World theme on the bus on the way back to the hotel. It's that, you know, this is going to sound exceptionally corny, but it's that weird infinite hope that, you know, that she believes all of this stuff is real. And it is. It's a real place that you can go to over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And even as adults, you know, when I go down there, you know, and I have my two girls, and you said it so well that we want our kids to have this innocence and this wide-eyed, the world is like this, because we know when we grow up, we lose a little bit of that. But I think it's great to have a place where it's so beautiful and it's so inviting. And we have this place where, you know, it's definitely an escape, and you get to believe, you know, in all these things, and you can let yourself, even as an adult, and I hope that our listeners do, and I know they do, but it's one of those places that it gets better when you have the kids going with you. I mean, because I loved it before the kids, but truly, like you said, when you get to see it through your kids' eyes, it takes it to a whole nother level.
Well, it's almost like starting over. It's like rewinding back to when you were a kid and got to do all this stuff. And, you know, and I'm not going to lie, you know, I still tear up at wishes and all that stupid stuff, even now.
So. Me too. I'm the same way. But that's why we're listening to, you know, podcasts like we do, studying Disney. And, you know, I just love that, you know, when you pass under the gates, you know, we drive in and all of a sudden, you know, everything's perfectly manicured. Even the islands in between the lanes of traffic, and you see the palm trees are taken care of, and the signs are now purple, and they're not so rigid, and, you know, just normal everyday looking. They're beautiful. And it's just, it is. I mean, it's Walt Disney World, and it's a world that I treasure, and we can definitely hear the passion in your voice. And, you know, I appreciate you sitting down with me today and sharing this, because I can tell this is something that is very near and dear to your heart. And, you know, keep the passion going, Brian. We love hearing about it.
Well, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate you having me on. It was fun.
All right. And we'll do this again sometime, because I know you're planning many more trips, and can't wait to talk Disney with you again, my friend.
Thanks.
All right, and don't forget that today's show was brought to you by the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you are looking to plan that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation, work with one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Check them out at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/beourguestmike, and I'd love a follow this week. That'd be awesome. And also like us on Facebook. We're over at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. And of course, we always have our message forums going over at beourguestpodcast.com/forums. And we'll be talking about today's show. And, you know, let us know what you think. You can definitely hear the passion in Brian's voice. And for all of our Disney fans out there that are parents, you're nodding right along with us. It just gets better when the kids start coming along with us as well. Don't forget, we have Magical Mouse Radio that plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're over at magicalmouseradio.com. And we'd love it if you'd tune in here in between shows. You know, we're out here every Monday and Friday, but Magical Mouse Radio plays 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we're going to let you get on with your work week, and thank you so much for downloading the show and starting your week with us. We appreciate having you as a listener, and more importantly, as a friend. So for Brian, I'm Mike, saying stay safe and have a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.